Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, CAF Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up for this Sunday morning. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced in cooperation with Community Highlights and Detroit Spiritual Ambassador Missionary Hattie Humphrey. The show is brought to you in part by the Law Office of Warrior Lawyer Johnny Hawkins, Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet, home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans, and Heaven Sent Home Support Services, in-home care for the elderly, ill, and disabled. All right, the Sunday morning team is here, at least part of it, part of the Sunday morning team. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, podcaster, speaker, author. Good morning, Kimberly Davis.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
And our political analyst and home care advocate, Henrietta Ivey. Henrietta is busier more than ever now with her businesses, so hopefully she will be able to get a chance to either listen or jump on at some point today, but I know her schedule has just skyrocketed now, but hey, that's what we want, right? We want more business. So I know she works a lot on Sundays now. And evangelist Christy Laster Andrews just wore out from weeks of planning and celebrations with the retirement of her dad, Bishop Laster, and the installation of her brother, Charles M. Laster II, as the new pastor at the Greater Pentecostal, and I know that evangelist Christy Laster is the one doing a lot of the work behind the scenes to make sure that these events come off as professional as they do, so we appreciate evangelist Christy Laster. Let's see, and then also Regina, the Queen of Car Loans, she's somewhere in the tropics. So, but
wow.
You can still call. Yeah, she's down. Yep, I've seen some pictures. I don't know. I forgot where, but one of those islands. She did tell me that she is still. I mean, even though she's down in the tropics, people are still calling to buy a car. So she's still working. Here's her number: 248. Yeah, 248-218-9808. 248-218-9808, because I know people are calling, because some people call me and say, what's her number? They're going to call it. I don't want to lose her any business, okay? So I just, she knows
right.
What to do. She's the queen of cologne, so. All right, I had a nice long conversation with the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, last week. He is a personal injury specialist, but he also handles, you know, guardianships, conservatorships, deceased estates, creating living wills, power of attorney, and trust. So call Attorney Johnny Hawkins when you've got a big issue to deal with, whether it's personal injury or something personal with the family. This is your attorney, the Warrior Lawyer, because he'll fight for you. 248-567-9990. And Heaven Sent Home Support Services is a home care agency that assists the elderly, ill, and disabled. And with these types of services like personal care, meals, med reminders, household chores, laundry, respite care, companionship, and much more, Heaven Sent will send out a representative to your home at no cost to perform an in-home safety assessment and a thorough discussion of all the services provided, and all this to make sure that they lend support to you. Here's the number for Heaven Sent Home Support Services, 248-262-7111. And, all right, look, I know a lot of people ask me, like, what is Michigan Ocean? First of all, they're like, how did you get that name? And what is Michigan Ocean? What do you do? Well, it's three things. Number one, of course, radio advertising and production. So if you want to advertise on any of the shows here, you know, Community Highlights with Missionary Humphrey, the Michael Van Til Show, if you want to even be in the driver's seat with Regina, the Queen of Carlones, call this one number at Michigan Ocean, 248-516-8300. I also do business training. We had a workshop yesterday, it was to highlight some of the services that we provide, but it also turned into, it was some really good discussions on how important it is for African Americans to own and manage their own businesses. I didn't expect it to go that route, but we had about three people that spoke and very knowledgeable too. So I appreciate that. And we're going to try to do this on a monthly basis at Northwestern and Evergreen, sponsored by Michigan Ocean and Colony. We also do, customer service training, how to start your business, applying for a business loan. And then we also do political consulting, public relations at Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, 248-516-8300. And how did I get the name? Well, we started out, I had some partners, we started out as Ocean Financial Services back in 2014. And I figured that I can, you know, do it without business partners, but so I went solo and had to change the name to Michigan Ocean Strategy Group because I owned the logo. I had bought the logo and I wanted that ocean to be a part of it. So I just switched things up and made it Michigan Ocean. So that's how we got Michigan Ocean. One more note, Optimal IT Solutions, if you want to, if you need your laptop repaired, your desktop or tablets, call Optimal to IT Solutions, 248-796-2429. Okay, let me take a break. When we come back, got the latest news and weather. Don't forget, Missionary Humphrey, it's going to be here on the second Sunday this month, second and fourth. And so we're looking forward to talking with her on the second Sunday in August. And I think, is that on my notes here? Yep. Okay. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service. This segment of programming is brought to you by Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency, specializing in business insurance. As your business evolves, so will your risk. Sharp & Associates will identify potential risk to your business and explore insurance options. A plan will be customized based on the specific needs of your business. In addition, Sharp specializes in auto, home, medical, life, and health insurance. Whatever your needs, we provide a wide range of insurance products to choose from. Protect your company and your livelihood for the long term with Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency. Contact us now at 833-668-0086 or go to our website, sharp-insurance.com. You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the Queen of Car Loans. Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet, find new roads. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Welcome back. In the news this morning, millions of households could face eviction over the next month when lawmakers are on their annual August recess, and some Democratic lawmakers are predicting a full-blown eviction crisis just as the Delta variant is surging. The Biden administration is allowing the moratorium to end at midnight tonight. Democratic Representative Ayanna Pressley from Massachusetts is one of those lawmakers, along with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who are aggressively pushing for the Biden administration to reverse their stance and continue protecting renters and homeowners. However, business groups and landlords say they are the ones suffering financially from the extended eviction freeze. By the way, Michigan has millions of unspent rental assistance dollars available to residents. We think we've had bad rainstorms here in Detroit, but in Europe it's even worse. Germany and the Netherlands have suffered extensive flooding this summer, but Lagos, Nigeria may be in the most danger. Citizens in Lagos, Nigeria have been dealing with cars and houses submerged in water, commuters wading through knee-high in floodwaters, and destroyed personal property that has to be thrown out. Yearly floods that engulf the city are becoming more and more severe. 24 million people live in Lagos. It is a low-lying city on Nigeria's Atlantic coast. The problem is exacerbated by inadequate and poorly managed drainage systems and uncontrolled growth. Lagos, Nigeria sits on an eroding coastline, and without billions of dollars to invest in infrastructure and in an expensive solution to the low-lying coastline, scientists believe the city may become uninhabitable by the end of the century, especially now due to climate change. From CNN, after Fox News rejected a promo from MyPillow executive CEO Mike Lindell for a live-streamed event that seeks to prove that former President Donald Trump won the 2020 election, Lindell has pulled his ads from the network. Mike Lindell's MyPillow has poured tens of millions of dollars into Fox News, propping up popular programs like Tucker Carlson and other programs that advertisers avoid due to edgy and provocative non-news content. As Mike Lindell descends into more voter fraud conspiracies and undying support for Donald Trump, his business relationships like with Fox News and major retail stores continue to suffer more and more. Many stores have stopped selling MyPillow products, and the company now makes a fraction of the sales it once made before the 2020 election. Kim B. Davis, I throw it to you.
All I can say is wow to that story.
I know.
Good morning,
everyone. He's paying the price for those bad, irrational. He's unhinged. He is unhinged. Mike Lindell.
He really is.
And he's ruining his business. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You created a product that was making you a lot of money, and now, you know, you open your mouth and your business is tanking. That's the business for the day. But good morning, everyone. It is the 1st of August. And I do have a feel-good story. And I'm going to start us off with a scripture because it reminded me of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth and hath not another to lift him up. My story today is about a waitress who's in tears after receiving a thank you note from a widow who was eating alone. Since the start of the pandemic, there have been tons of stories making the media rounds about crazy generous restaurant customers leaving behind outrageously large tips to the amazement of stunned and deliriously happy waitstaff. While it's true that an extra or an even extravagant monetary tip is always a nice bonus, sometimes a heartfelt show of appreciation can mean a whole lot more. Last Sunday, as waitress Megan King was working a routine shift, she took the order of an elderly woman who was eating alone. King classed their interaction as pleasant, but nothing out of the ordinary. She came in about halfway through my 17-hour shift, and it was on Sunday, which is always pretty busy, King told Newsweek. About halfway through her meal, it started to slow down, so we chatted for a few minutes. Small talk, nothing too deep. She told me she was almost 70, and she just wanted to stop by an old favorite place for a bite. But the note the patron left behind was a $3 tip on her $11 check brought King to tears. Thank you very much for your kind service, it read. This was my first time eating out alone since my husband passed. I was hoping I could get through it. As she'd eaten her meal, King noticed the woman seemed quiet and contemplative. The waitress's first instincts made her assume that there may have been something wrong with the food, but in hindsight, King wishes she'd been a little more alert to her customer's cues. I wish I would have taken her quiet as an invitation, she told Newsweek. I think that's what she wanted looking back. I guess she did in a way. She needed an ear. King says she was so choked with emotion when she read the note, she had to take a moment to pull herself back together in the ladies' room. On Tuesday, captioned in pain, King posted a picture of the note and one of her tearful reactions to Twitter. The now viral tweet has amassed more than 821,000 likes so far and a ton of feedback. That's super sad, but also sweet at the same time, one viewer commented. I just want to give whoever wrote this note a hug. Some commentators note that they thought the woman had given King short shrift on the tip, leaving only a dollar, which was not the case. King was quick to dispel the fact that... She was quick to dispel the fact that the woman did not short her. She said, a lot of our customers are older and living on fixed income, so they tip what they can, King told Newsweek. They are always welcome, no matter how much or little they tip. As a rule, tipping at the end of a meal is recognition for good service, but it's all too easy to lose the importance of human interaction in the passing transaction. King, who has a special place in her heart for the restaurant's older patrons, hasn't lost sight of what matters. The word gratuity comes from the Latin word, which is gratuitous. It means gift or gratis, pleasing, and thankful. And not surprisingly, it's also the same root word from which we get a measure of grace. Not money in the bank, perhaps, but priceless nonetheless.
You know, something good about that, about how genuine that was. And sometimes, yeah. You know, I think sometimes you can tell when somebody is, there's something about what's going on where you can tell that they are giving a big fraction of what they have left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy for it's easy for somebody with $62 million to write a $1 million check. That's easy.
Right.
But but somebody who's got $62 to their name, and they give you half of that, that is so much more of a sacrifice.
Yes.
You know, but that's a heartwarming story. Great story.
Thank you.
All right. What's the weather like today? I could feel some of the humidity already.
Well, it actually is a little bit cooler today. So good morning. We have a few showers in the pre-dawn hours. It's cool with temps in the 60s. By breakfast time, it will be mostly cloudy with a few drops around. Sunday afternoon is going to be partly sunny to mostly cloudy. Highs will be in the low and mid-70s. Scattered showers and storms may redevelop after lunchtime and sunset this evening. As you guys notice, the sun is going down earlier at 8:52. Yes, I know. It becomes clear with cooler conditions Sunday night. Overnight lows will be in the 50s. So our high today will be 76 with scattered showers and a low of 57. Tomorrow, on Monday, it will be sunny and 79 with a low of 59. On Tuesday, it'll be sunny with a high of 82 and a low of 61. Wednesday, it will be mostly sunny with a high of 84 and a low of 64. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 85 and a low of 65. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 87 and a low of 69. And on Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 88 and a low of 68. So it's going to be a pretty good week.
Yeah, it sounds good. And not much rain either. So you can wash your car this
week.
This is great. Mm-hmm. Some of my best friends are preachers. I got a couple of notes here. Number one, congratulations to 39 years at Greater Pentecostal to Charles M. Laster. But congratulations to his son, Dr. Charles M. Laster II, for taking over at Greater Pentecostal. I'm looking forward to getting over there. My schedule's been so busy with my candidate. Matter of fact, I'm going to run a previously recorded interview after the show today. The election is Tuesday. I encourage everybody to get out and vote. I'll be working on election day as a chairperson at Mann School on the west side of Detroit. I'm really encouraging everybody to get out and vote on Tuesday. You know, the primary is so important that that's how people get on the ballot for November. And if you don't get on the primary, you're not going to make it. And you know, I was saying this morning, that's how the crazy slip in sometimes, because they know a lot of people are not going to vote on the primary. And, you know, that's how they slip in. And you're like, wow, how did they get on the ballot? Well, because a lot of people didn't come out. It's the middle of summer. Look at this. How many people on vacation right now? It's August the 1st.
Right.
The election is August 3rd. And there are a lot of people that are just going to sit it out. A lot of people, I think, forgot about it, too. So, but anyway, Pastor Prince Miles, Apostle Miles from International Gospel Deliverance in Southfield, is celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary with First Lady Monica Miles Sunday, August the 15th. Congratulations. You know, Pastor Miles was, when I started doing my open mic poetry and performing poetry, Pastor Miles was one of the first people that showed up to my events way back in the day when we were all younger. That's so, you know, and we're still friends to this day. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to talk to some more preachers and pastors in a minute. Thanks for jumping on the line, and thank you to those who are listening on blogtalkradio.com. You know, my candidate, Erica Maria, and I, Erica is running for District 7, Detroit City Council, as a write-in candidate. We organized a post office protest back on July 22nd at the Joy Field Post Office. It was a very hot day, and I never knew how much traffic comes down Joy Road. You know, where Herman Gardens used to be right over there, but then, you know, they have a new housing development over there now. But it was a lot of traffic out there. I just want to go down the list. Thank some people for showing up. Keith Combs, the president of the American Postal Workers Union, Detroit Area Local. Jane Duggan, Michigan Postal Workers Union retiree, chair of the Wayne County Commission, Commissioner Alicia Bell, Wayne County Commissioner Monique Baker McCormick, District 6, candidate for state rep Ismael Terry, Detroit City Council candidate, District 7, Erica Maria, home care rights activist Henrietta Ivy, and chaplain Kathy, also there, and Minister Randall Smith. So we had a great turnout, but I hope that it got some attention too. Speaking of Minister Randall Smith, let me just pop over to and click on his line. Good morning, Minister Smith. How are you, sir?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. Thank you for coming out and supporting us in our efforts to get attention for the U.S. Postal Service and the poor service that we're getting. Thanks for coming out. But, you know, you've been pretty busy now as a, you know, you've been slated to take over at least one, maybe two congregations coming up this year. Tell us about what's going on and, you know, what you're doing now.
Well, this morning I'm supposed to be down at a service at 11. They want me to sing there, and then we are soon to be releasing a group, a gospel group, entitled, the name of it is He Said. And it's myself and three other surprise people that people are going to be tickled. Yeah, everyone knows all three of them, but they're part of the record label. And then, of course, as of tomorrow, I'll be going to the church where I'm going to be taking over as pastor there, and then I'm going to be relaunching a church that I started some years ago. So we're excited about what God is doing, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, great. It's good to hear about that, and it you know, it looks like you're moving forward and upward, and that's a good sign. That's the direction we want to go. So congratulations to you, and you know, and again, thanks for you supporting some of our initiatives too. We appreciate it. But thanks for listening this morning.
No problem.
Great.
See you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. That is Minister Randall Smith. Got some things going on. There was a couple of notes that I stumbled across, Kim. One of them was, you know, and this should not be this big news, but Governor Whitmer announced a new grocery store in North Flint. Unfortunately,
yes.
in African-American centers, urban centers, in places like Flint, Detroit, Pontiac, when a new grocery store opens, it's like big news. It
yes.
is important because we have supermarket deserts in places like
mm-hmm.
Flint and Detroit and Saginaw and
mm-hmm.
other places. And the worst part about this is that it shows that we're not getting adequate fresh fruits and vegetables, fish, meats. We're not getting a big variety. You know, and I was talking this morning about some of the expired meats that
yeah.
they rebadge and sell, you know, change the date and sell it. You know that stuff's bad. It's brown. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so the announcement of a new grocery store in North Flint. And we need more. We need more here. In
we definitely
Detroit.
Do.
And we got banking deserts here.
We do.
Bank branches have been closing. They were closing before COVID. And, you know, but what that does is, just like the supermarkets, the ones that are here, the substandard ones that are here, charge more. And you get bad products. And same thing in banking. If you don't have one of the state-of-the-art national banks in your neighborhood, that means you're going to end up using alternative banking sources like check cashing and debit cards that charge you to load and unload, you know. And every time you turn around, there's a cost to everything you do. I mean, I know it is with some the banks too. Were you saying something?
I was. You know, I don't know if many people know this. In the city, ATM shut off at a certain point. Did you know that, Michael?
No, no, no. I did not know that. When did that start?
So, I have experienced this with a couple of the banks that are in my neighborhood, which are big banks. And the statement that was given to me by security was, the reason that the ATM shut off is because there's so many robberies and so many assaults that the ATMs will essentially shut down. And that they'll say part of it's because there's too much money in there and they haven't had opportunity to take it out. But it happens all the time. So if, for instance, on a Saturday evening and you're like, okay, I need to go and get cash because this particular place only takes cash and doesn't take a card, but I have to go to an ATM machine. When you were talking about fees, if I have to go into one of these stores and use their machine, I'm probably going to get charged $3 to $5, if not more, than just to remove money out of my account. And then if, you know, if you need to make a deposit because you were paid that day because of the work that you do, maybe you're a landscaper and you have all this cash on you, you're like, oh, I don't want to carry all this cash, I want to take it to the bank. Well, you can't even deposit it in the ATM because the ATM is down. So you have to wait until the next day when it's up. And so it is very frustrating because I've had to do that a couple times where I've had an event and I've had money and I wanted to deposit it and went to the ATM and the ATM was shut down, or, you know, you need cash because I don't carry cash on me. I always carry my card, but there are a few places that you'll go and they'll say, oh, well, we only take cash. So then you're like, okay, you got to scramble. Well, where is an ATM machine? So those are definitely real problems. And as far as the stores we baggy meat, we hear the stories on the news all the time. And typically it's in neighborhoods where it is not necessarily a recognized supermarket or a chain. It'll be a food market or something like that where things are a little bit questionable, and you walk in and you can smell it and you're like, there are people here shopping and they're selling you bad meat. So it is hard. And I've seen people at gas stations buy fruit, like a batch of bananas for $3 and $4, and they're essentially about to go bad.
You know, I'm still stuck on that an ATM that closes. ATMs were supposed to be 24/7. That was the convenience of an ATM, and for them to now shut it down at a certain time, I understand what the reason, but just like how you go shopping in some areas, mostly in the city, where you cannot you buy something in one store, you can't shop with holding the bags. You have to leave the bag at the security desk. That, I hate that. And I don't go back to those stores because everywhere else, you know, you leave the city and they don't do that. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. What is, you can't shop with your bag. You know, if you go to the mall, you're shopping around. You got, some people have so many bags. And so I just, it's so insulting. It's so insulting to.
Well, not only that, Michael, at checking the receipt, it doesn't matter if I spent $5 or $5,000 in your business. You see me walk out with a bag, I need to check your receipt. I expect that at Sam's Club. I expect that at Costco because that's what they do. That's they have to verify to make sure. I get that. But when I go to Home Depot or I go to even, I've seen it. I'm trying to remember the Target that I was in, and I saw it in a Target where someone did this. And I think it was around holiday time. They were checking people's receipts. And I thought, wow, is Target doing this now, or is it just this Target? But you're right. You can go places and walk out with a bottle of pop and have your receipt in your hand, and they're like, oh, I don't need to see it. Go ahead. You know, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go places where they're like, I need to see your receipt. And you've got like 8 bags, and you're going, really? Okay, now I have to dig
right.
for it because I put it in my purse or I put it in my pocket. Or one of my children, if my children are with me, took it. And then, it's, you know, you're scrambling like, okay, well, where's the receipt? And then you feel guilty. When you shouldn't feel guilty because you're like, but I just spent whatever to get this, but you're asking me for my receipt.
Right.
So, yeah.
The worst thing is having to check your bag in with the security desk before you can go shopping, and then you pick it up on your way
mm-hmm.
out. Oh, I hate that. I hate that. And mm-hmm. I don't go back to those stores because, to me, that's insulting. But it's like, so here we have to endure another a substandard type of customer service. So the ATM club, I'm still stuck on it. I just don't. The ATM shuts down at a certain time. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a new one on me. I did not know that. But that's what we have to endure and deal with living in the city. And that's why I think people are, you know, that people wonder, well, how come you're upset about this? How come you're upset about that? Well, look what we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
an ATM that closes at a certain time when that's what,
listen.
You know, that one got
so
me.
So I found this. I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I said that ATM thing. I'm not over that. I'm not.
It is bad because I was trying to make a deposit and I had something, you know, sometimes you forget you have something come through and then you're waiting for a check or you're waiting for money to come through and they sort of briefly miss each other. And this particular bank on the weekend, if it misses each other, they won't charge you for anything if there's not enough money to cover it until Monday. And this was one of those weekends where it was like a Saturday night. I was trying to put it in because I was like, oh, the money's here. Such and such is coming through. I need to pay for this. And could not find an ATM anywhere. I think I drove to 4 ATMs. Each one was down. And I was hot. I called my bank and told the bank, and the lady said, ma'am, I apologize, but I understand that that's something that is done. And I went, really? Oh, okay. And that's when I started to investigate. And I went back to the branch where I had initially gone, which is right like less than a mile from my house. And that's what the security guard told me. He said, yeah, we have too many people who get robbed at the ATM. So we shut them down at night or they're down at night. And so I thought, oh,
wow.
Okay. So I was able to talk to customer service and, you know, they were able to waive fees for me so I didn't have to worry about it. But it was just the fact that that is a real thing. So you're paying higher prices for food that's expired in some cases. You're paying higher prices to access your money because you don't necessarily have a bank to go to. And depending on whatever else you need, you may have a higher service. You know, in the city, it is difficult oftentimes to get a police officer to come, depending on where you are, because of COVID, because of the number of things that are happening in the city. I had a person who came to my door and from one of the council offices, one of the people running for office, and she said, oh, we're just walking and trying to find out what are the big major issues. And I said, can you do something about the drag strip racing? Because I said, I realize that crime and the economy and everything else. I said, but we have people that do donuts on our corner. We have people that drag race up and down the street. I said, and we have children on this block. We have elderly people who walk on this block. So, you know, I'm not saying that living in the city is bad, but there are some definite challenges that we have here that we're trying to work through.
You know, Eric and Maria had a fundraiser birthday party this weekend, and
mm-hmm.
we had a reception on a rooftop at one of the restaurant bars down in Greektown on Monroe. And mm-hmm. it was nice upstairs on the roof. And as the night grew on, we were down there from 6 until, and there were, as each hour, more and more people came in to the point where I think around 11, 12 o'clock, it was like off the hook, jam-packed. Mostly, a lot of, mm-hmm. you could tell it was a lot of suburbanites, you know, drove into town. But what bothered me mostly was like at 9 o'clock, a team of DPD officers came through, looked like they were getting ready to go to war. They had on they were weighted down with everything, looking sharp,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking like I right out of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in 6-7 deep at a time. So the first group came in at 9 o'clock, and they came in and walked around, make sure everything was safe and secure, that everybody was happy eating and drinking, and that nobody was being harassed or in trouble. That was nice. But then at mm-hmm. 10 o'clock, a different group of seven came through, just like it reminded me of like a rock star. I remember one time I was at an event at the library, and Usher and his entourage walked in and walked past me. I felt that same thing. They were like rock stars. They came in the establishment up on the rooftop, and they came through, and after about 5 minutes, they left. Then at 11 mm-hmm. o'clock, another group. And I was like, okay, if I'm on my street on the west side of Detroit and I call 911, I'm not going to see 21 officers come through
exactly.
in 3 hours. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I know the streets at Greektown are bad, okay? There's some of the fighting
mm-hmm.
on the weekends. So I understand what they're doing down there, but this was up on the rooftop, you know?
Right.
I just think that it's lopsided. The presence of all these armed officers
I guess
most of them are downtown on
mm-hmm.
and you know that's where they are. You
yes,
know,
this is true.
I don't know. We have
corruption in the city, though, Michael. We have corruption in the city.
Okay. I was like, you know, it was like so many in one place to make sure that we were happy up there. And it's like, I know if you called in the neighborhood for a police officer, you could barely get one. And I saw...
Right.
21 of them come into the club that night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
I just had to get that out.
No, I agree with you. It is a frustration. It really is. It is a frustration.
Yeah, especially if you live here and you're a homeowner and you know, tax paying and you
mm-hmm.
get to go to school here and all that stuff. Those things, the stuff that we talked about this morning about checking your bags in at a store because you can't walk through the
mm-hmm.
store with your, you know, valuable purchases. Then you gotta leave. They don't know what's in your bag. Then you gotta leave
right.
it with some security guard that's getting minimum
mm-hmm.
wage. You know
exactly who might go in your bag and see what you have and take.
You may have jewelry in there, expensive leather jackets, and you gotta leave it with some guy that just has a
mm-hmm.
badge on him. You know, it's just, you know. But when you're part of a community, you don't want to be disrespected like that. You know, you just
True.
don't. All right, sure. You have any other things that you wanted to cover before I go through my list of a couple of notes here, Kimberly?
No, just want everybody to get out and vote on Tuesday. It's very important. We briefly hinted that leaders are the sum of us. It's who we vote for. We are an active part of that process. So let's be engaged on Tuesday. Go out and vote. I know that sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it feels like you're being pushed upon because you don't necessarily care because it's not a national election with the president. But still, these are leaders that we are electing to local positions that are going to manage the affairs of our region. And we want to make sure that they truly represent our needs, our thoughts, and our cares and concerns. So please get out and vote.
Yes, I agree. I agree. All right, let me just mention a few people. Like I said, I'm rerunning an interview with Erica Maria, write-in candidate for Detroit City Council, in about 14 minutes. So those of you who can stick around and listen to that, it will be playing in a few minutes. Franklin Wright Settlements, my favorite organization. Franklin Wright Settlements is a leading Detroit neighborhood human services organization existing to assist individuals, families, groups, and the community with basic life, family, and social needs. To support Franklin Wright Settlements with a tax-deductible contribution, call Dion at 313-579-1000, 313-579-1000. And great work. And I'm looking forward to I know, Kimberly, you are, one of the planners of some of our events. I'm just excited now for some of the events that we've got coming up, like the Spirit of Giving and other events coming up this fall.
I'm very excited.
And I'm just hoping that this Delta variant subsides so that it doesn't mess with some of our events coming up, because I think we're ready to come back out and enjoy life and meet and greet each other, you know? But
yes, we are. Definitely.
Yes, we've got some, I know our big promotional stuff hasn't started yet, but I'm looking forward because we're going to be recognizing some great community icons this year for years
yes.
of service. And, Franklin Wright's been around for over 140 years, and I'm telling you, there are people involved with Franklin Wright who have been here for decades, and that's sacrifice a lot of time, and I think you're doing a great job helping to highlight the work of Franklin Wright and the those who support the organization. Great job.
Thank you. You know, it's always important to recognize those that have gone before us who are still here among us, leading us, doing the work, advising us. So I am very, very excited about that.
Yes. All right. Let's see. I am today, it's the first time I'm heading out to go to some churches. The only church I've been to since COVID is Greater Pentecostal. I've been
That's
there a
good.
Few times. I know. I just realized that. But today I'm finally going to get back out and make a couple of visits this morning. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a great day to be out. And, it's long overdue. And then I got to get to my church, Empowerment. I got to get back over there. They just started meeting in person. I think it's been two Sundays now in Southfield, on Southfield Road. So I'm looking forward to getting over there and, worshiping with, the great folks over at Empowerment in Southfield. All right. I think we're going to wrap up a little few minutes early because I'm going to run the interview with Eric and Maria. So those of you who are listening on the line, feel free to stay on. If you are listening on, on the phone, feel free to stay on. If you're listening online, it's going to come up automatically shortly. But I'm going to leave you with some music. And then in about 10 minutes, we'll start the interview with Eric and Maria. But thanks, Kimby Davis. Thank you for being the Sunday morning team this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Yes. And thanks for your input and contributions to the show. Really appreciate it. All right. God bless you. Have a great day today. Let me listen to a little bit of Dr. Randall Smith. On our way out, and a few others too, and this morning. So, all right. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Stay safe.
God bless. Have a great Sunday.
All right.
I came from a good home, but I was in a dark place, and something got a hold of me, yeah, something got a hold. It tried to drive me to hell, only thing is I really couldn't tell. I thought it was fun, but really it was foolish. Mama tried to tell me, but I was so stupid. I'm just trying to be close enough to see how many times I fell on my knees crying out to you, pouring my eyes out, yeah, wishing I can scream and shout, yeah. I'm just trying to be close enough to see how many times I fell on my knees crying out to you, pouring my eyes out, yeah, wishing I can scream.
You're more than a mother, father, sister, brother. You are everything. Oh, yeah. Mm. You are all that I need.
All that I need.
You are all that I need.
All that I need.
Your mother and mother, father.
Been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
Attention all seniors. Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency has an important announcement for you. If you're approaching Medicare eligibility and have questions like, how do I choose the right Medicare supplement plan? How do I avoid higher premiums? How do I reduce out-of-pocket expenses? What is the difference between Original Medicare versus Medicare Advantage? How do I choose the most cost-effective prescription drug plan? For answers to these questions and more, Sharp & Associates are awaiting your call. Phone them today at 833-668-0086 or try them on the web at sharp-insurance.com. That's sharp-insurance.com. Call today.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC.
experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, CAF Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Really excited to introduce my guest this morning. Her name is Ms. Erica Maria. She's the Executive Director of Supreme Transitions, a nonprofit organization. She is also the luminary of the HBO documentary I Am Evidence with Law & Order SVU actress Mariska Hargitay and Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. I think you all remember that. Erica is also a social justice advocate, and she's running for Detroit City Council District 7. She is our guest this morning. Good morning, Erica Maria.
Hello, Mr. Van Tool. Thanks for having me.
Great, and I'm glad you're here. First of all, you know, this is a tough town, and there's a lot of, it's a very demanding job. Why did you decide to run for Detroit City Council District 7?
Detroit is most definitely a tough town, but I was raised here, so that means it's a part of my DNA as well. I'm just as tough, if not tougher. I love Detroit. I thank God for my grandmothers, both paternal and maternal, moving into District 7. One bought her home in the late 50s. The other bought her home, several homes, actually, in District 7 in the early 60s. When my mom was born. And just our roots are embedded. My family on both sides of paternal and maternal are just deeply rooted in District 7 of Detroit. And I've just grown to love the residents here. I don't know anything.
It's on the west side, right? So what's your boundaries for district?
District 7 includes the zip codes 48227, 228, 48204, some parts of 48204, and 48238.
Well, you know, you've got a number of challengers. You know, it's one of those jobs where you'll always be on. You know, you're always on stage. What do you think, what makes you different from the other candidates?
What makes me different from the other candidates is that I'm actually authentic. And I'm real. I'm not a career politician. I'm not a rabble rouser. I'm actually an advocate. I'm actually a community member that works for a community to get things done, solve problems, and create measurable change in a reasonable time. I understand what it takes to get things done. It's not about titles or positions. That's, you know, you can buy that, right? But to be in community, what makes me different is that I have an ear to hear, and I have the tenacity to get things done. I'm bold enough to stand, and I have been a proven leader on a national level, the state level, and here locally. I'm advocating for policy change in the African-American community and for policy change here in Detroit. I have no issues with collaborating with several agencies, including our police department, joining community partner meetings with our current mayor, Mike Duggan, for the past 4 years, working with smaller grassroots agencies and churches, community organizations and block clubs. It's just who I am. I never meet a stranger. And as people share with me the challenges that they experience, I, too, experience those challenges. And so when I advocate for them, I'm also advocating for myself. And I think that's some of the things that make me different. I'm very relatable, and I'm very serious about receiving feedback and holding those members in different bodies in our state and in our city accountable for what it is that they said they would do, making sure that money is allocated and spent wisely for what we actually want. You know, as an advocate, that's my job to hear and translate what we want.
What are some of the major issues in District 7? What are you going to tackle? What do your constituents want you to tackle?
I've been hearing, because I'm not a career politician, so I don't have any promises to make. I can only guarantee that I will stand up and stand firm in what we believe is right and fair and just. And so what I've been hearing from community members, from our seniors who have been legacy Detroiters, who don't have access to funding for renovations to their home. We have a lot of issues in our neighborhood in District 7 as far as the streets and they're caving in.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of issues with lighting and public safety and business development. You know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and startups, and they're missing out on opportunities to be educated and grow and get the resources that they need.
You know, I think that's something that a lot of people haven't thought about, Erica, is that, yes, we need to encourage business, some economic zones, and encourage people to do business, open up businesses, and to thrive. It seems like people don't mention that much, but we need economic activity. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that we really need. You also, you know, it takes a lot of, you talk about how tough it is in this town. It takes a lot of confidence and courage and boldness to run for an office like Detroit City Council. What caused you to, what gave you all this confidence? Where did you get it from? And what propelled you into this public arena?
Well, it's funny, a few things. My mom was the only girl of eight. And after my grandmother raised her children, my grandmother and my grandfather raised their children, my grandmother then turned around and adopted seven more boys.
Wow,
so I was
okay.
Raised with like 14, 15 uncles and all of their friends. I was teased. I was bullied. You know, we used to walk down Schoolcraft and cut through the train tracks to get the bus to rec center in the summer months. They would tease me. I mean, they made sure that I was not afraid. If somebody bullied me, they would tell me, they would threaten me. If you scared, you know, we're going to lock you up, we're going to beat you down, you know, stuff like that. But they never hurt me. They loved me too much to hurt me. But they always challenged me to bring out the inner strength that I have. And, you know, honestly, I'm a Leo. You know, I'm a true lioness. I am unapologetic and unafraid.
That accounts for something.
Competitive. And I know my self-worth. You know, I believe in being self-aware. So that's where my confidence comes from. And I don't lose. You know, I do everything to accomplish my goals.
Well, Erica, you are a social justice advocate.
Yes.
How did that happen? Tell us that story. How did you become a social justice advocate?
I became a social justice advocate by experiencing adversity myself. Several layers of adversity. I was a teen mom after losing my mom. My mom passed when I was 16 years old. I had my oldest daughter my senior year of high school. So just before I turned 18, I became a mother without a mother. I was able to enter Wayne State early because I had graduated from high school before I had my daughter my senior year. And trying to navigate systems was very hard for me at that time. Mm-hmm. Either I was too old or I was too young. I had too much education or not enough education. I just never really fit into a program. But I found myself homeless and experiencing so many hardships. And these policies that were in place did not make sense for me. And then I experienced my sexual assault. And that's when I decided to relocate because I just could not see my hand in front of my face. My outlook for life was very, very dim. And so some friends who were in school in Alabama, they invited me down just to kind of recalibrate. And I noticed how their systems and policies were very different for the city residents. And I said, wow, things like, you know, like this, what happened in Detroit, people would be able to get, you know, the help that they need. They would be more empowered. And so I came home with the idea of a more in-depth intake system to help people get leads and referrals to accomplishing their goals. And that's when I decided to start my nonprofit organization, Supreme Transition, which is a leads and referrals agency. But our primary goal in that is our initial contact. We do an in-depth intake. We have a one-on-one conversation, a keep-it-real conversation, where people can tell me, oh, I need bill pay assistance. And I say, well, how's your budgeting? I pay my bills. No. Let's talk about your budget. How much do you actually spend on recreational items? How much do you spend? You know, let's be honest, and let's talk about where the issues are, and let me help you accomplish the bigger goal by creating some smaller goals. And so we started this whole wraparound system in that in-depth intake with community members, and then hosting small groups and conferences and empowerment sessions for men and women. And then as I became more comfortable sharing my survivor story, that's how we developed the component specifically for survivors of violence and I Am Evidence, which is my company name.
And I know that you have, it propelled you on a national stage, all your work. I mean, you know, when I introduced you, I noted that you had worked with the Law and Order series actress and also with Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. I remember back when you were working on the rape kits, and that was got a lot of attention. So you were involved in that from back then.
It's very interesting because running a grassroots organization, we always need money, and you have to be creative to, you know, raise those funds. And so I generated a T-shirt that said I Am Evidence, and the D was the Detroit D. And I was kind of shopping the idea around of having a talk show to highlight what was good and new in Detroit, because at that time we were getting so much negative press about the mayor, you know, Kwame Kilpatrick, and it was national news. And so I thought if I could be a light to show the world that there is something good and new in Detroit, and to invite guests on to tell me what their evidence of, you know, black men who were raised by single mothers who did not become drug dealers, you know.
They are evidence.
I Am Evidence. And so that was my original mind frame, but God
showed like that.
Me, right? Mm-hmm. So I produced these shirts, and we're selling these shirts as a fundraiser, and I'm still speaking, and I'm getting more opportunities to speak on a national level. And so I went, and I was one of the speakers, the keynote speakers in D.C. on economic justice reform through the Women of Color Network, and I wore my shirt. And this young lady at my table was from Atlanta, and she looked at me, and she looked at the shirt. And she said, well, what's going on in Detroit with the rape kit backlog? And I'm never nasty to people, but I kind of bit, you know, snapped at her. And I said, well, I don't know. That's public news. Google it. And so when I went in my hotel room for lunch, I didn't want to eat with the group. That just really bothered me for some reason. I looked in the mirror in my hotel room, and I said, God, you tricked me. You got me walking around with this shirt on across my chest telling people that I am evidence in a time where it's national news that we have over 11,000 untested rape kits that have been found in an abandoned police building, and I have one. So when I came home from that, I was asked to speak in California through another national agency, but they couldn't figure out the budget. And a friend here with the sexual assault agency invited me to come and do a training for survivors.
So you literally just kind of, you fell into that role as a spokesperson.
It
as
just
an
fell
advocate.
In my lap. It literally did.
You know,
like,
and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because, you know, when you're running for office, like city council, you want somebody that has a proven record that they can do something, not just somebody, you call them rabble rousers. There's a lot of people out here, even in your district, that's just talking. You know, a lot of people just do a lot of talking. But right now, we need more than talk. We need actual action. We need people to do things. I think, and that's why I called you for this interview, because I see what you've already done. And that's what we need. We need people that can get things done. So I really applaud you in what you've accomplished, the real work that you're doing, the being a spokesperson, an advocate, and now wanting to take this and make change for this city. You know, it, because it does take that boldness and confidence. Did you ever think that you would be running for city council?
Yes. Actually, I had planned to run 4 years. Yeah, I had planned to run 4 years ago, but when I established my nonprofit in 2012, as I was going through the process with my mentor, Kaylin Risker, I kept telling her, you know, I've got to run for Congress. I've got to run for, you know, a larger seat. And she said, well, everybody always feels that way. And I said, no. So I even knew in 2012 that real change happens in policy change. But the another difference between me and some of these others who have made it on the ballot in District 7 is that it's one thing to pick a fight, and it's another thing to know how to win a fight. And what learned through all of my experience and all of the blessings and things that have happened because I was bold enough to stand up, right, for what I believe in, is that I've learned as sitting at these tables and being a part of task force and leadership cohorts is that you have to know how to strategize and you have to know how to collaborate and you have to have a strategic plan. And so it's one thing to just yell and throw rocks and pick these fights, but what if someone actually says, hey, yeah, we believe in what you're saying. Now what?
Right.
Do you actually have the capacity
for us
to build a strategic plan? Do you actually have the capacity to work with others? You can still stand firm on what you believe, but you still have to be able to work with others because we are diverse in District 7. It's not just African-American people. My neighbors are Hispanic, Lebanese, you know, Chaldean. It's so diverse. White, we have white people in District 7.
So you stand for everybody. You're representing
you
everybody.
You have to stand up for everybody.
Okay.
And on an individual level and on a collective level, because we are neighbors. So outside of my family having over 60-plus years roots in District 7, I personally have lived at my house in District 7 for 10 years. I raised my children in District 7. They went to Detroit Public Schools in District 7, you know, and I've caught the bus in District 7. I've walked to the grocery store and walked home in District 7. So there are a lot of things that we need, you know, in District 7 because I have lived experience in District 7.
Great. Well, you know what? You're the residents in District 7 are going to love to listen to this because you're obviously going to fight for them. You've been in a fight for a while. You've had a number of fights over the years. And you're standing tall now. We need somebody like you in Detroit City Council. You can get some stuff done. You can work and represent the people, and you're representing everybody in your district. Erica, Maria, thank you so much for joining us on the Michael Van Tool Show. We really appreciate it. Let me tell you, the Sunday morning team and I stand for you, and we're with you, and we would like to see you successful and at the table at the City County Building in November. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Not a problem. And if you don't mind, I just love to redirect people to show some support. I need volunteers. You can find me at www.electerica.maria.com. I need as many people to join on board. We call ourselves the E-Hive, and it's all love.
And you need money. You need donations. You need money to start the campaign.
Donations.
Right.
Yes.
Let's just
We've
put it out there. Volunteers and money.
We need volunteers and donations. We've already started our fundraising goals, and it's going to take a whole lot more. And so I'm thankful for those who have already donated, those who have already signed up as volunteers. We've got a great plan in place and a great team already. So I just want to invite others to come, share their experience with me, and let me be able to advocate for us.
Great. A worker, a fighter, an advocate. Thank you so much, Erica Murray Maria, for Detroit City Council District 7. Thank you again for being on the show with me today.
Thank you.
All right.